Good. So I see you're sharing the agenda. I will, maybe we start it off with the flags. I don't have a flag to show, but if you all look at your flags wherever you are, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, liberty,
and justice for all.
All right, this is the October 19th, 2020 virtual public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and then the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Kilda?
Absent.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. Kochanowski?
Absent.
Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Shike?
Absent.
And Mr. Seme?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman?
Absent. I did get kicked off for a minute, so, you know, but I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, sir.
I said I appreciate the long absence calls.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's no fun. It's no fun without, you know, you have to be there to do it in person. Tell John we did it as a testament. We'll keep it on like cold standby until we get back together.
Yes, right. It's a very long absent call to Israel, so you know you just say absent when you're really far away. You know.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. So we have first up, we do have some meeting minutes. We have the minutes of October 5th, 2020. Denise had distributed them as part of the package. Denise, you have the four eligible members here. Does anybody have any questions or comments on those minutes?
I don't. I'll motion to approve.
Lazarus, second.
Thank you, Mr. Glaser and Mr. Lazarus. Roll call, please.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Seme?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. We've got three resolutions this evening, all for Annandale Village LLC, the former Fox Seals and Municipal Building. They're all Block 53, Lot 3, 6 West Street, application 20.04 resolution. They're all the different resolutions. The first, they've all been distributed as you've seen. And the first one here, is the applicant seeking minor subdivision approval to subdivide Lot 3, Block 53, in order to retrofit an existing historical building to accommodate a mixed-use multifamily residential with restaurant use and construction of a new multifamily residential building along with separate community parking lot. So these, again, we discussed them last meeting and voted on them. They've been distributed. Anybody have any questions or comments on this one?
I have a couple of minor editorial changes. That's it. I'm sure Suzanne probably has the same ones I do, but
yeah, go.
I mean, so I'm dealing with all three here. All three in the witnesses who testified have Tim Brosnan's name spelled wrong as Tim Brosnan with an M instead of an N. Two of the three have Johnny Bartland listed as instead of Dennis Bartland as the township's historic preservation expert. That's 06 and 07, not 05. And then I know we're 905 right now, but there's one minor thing with 05. I can wait till we get to that one, I guess.
Yeah, so let's fix. I see that one. It's Jim. It's Tim Brosnan, not man. An M A N.
Right.
Another one, and John.
Two of the three have Dennis Bartland listed as Donnie Bartland.
Oh yeah, Dennis Bartland. Yeah.
One of them has it. Is it right? I think that's 05, and 06 and 07 have it listed as Donnie Bartland.
Oh. Yeah, his cousin or something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's Dennis Bartland. Okay. But what else? What was the other one on there, John? Or John, you were talking about?
The other one is a minor editorial one on 06, not 05. If we're doing 05 first, I'm sorry.
We're doing 05 first.
Resolution 2020-05. Yeah, the one. There's another minor editorial thing on 06. I can wait till we get there if you want.
Okay.
I have just two minor comments, and it applies in each of the three resolutions. And it's just the first paragraph of each of them.
Uh-huh.
So go down to the first sentence in the first one. Where Village is the designated redeveloper of an approximately 1.01 acre property located in the township of Clinton, the township which is has. So I think it should be is or which has, I guess.
Yeah. So Suzanne, hang on a second. You guys all confused me. I think there's something wrong with the agenda. The first one is the modification. The minor subdivision approval. But if you look, it says 05, and the next two say 06. Am I confused here?
Are you looking at application number or resolution number, Kevin?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm getting confused by.
Yeah, resolution number.
That's what I was just going to say, yeah. So the resolution numbers are 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
So we're doing 5, which is the subdivision.
Yes. And variances, yes.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
What the changes that I'm giving right now, the first sentences in each of the resolutions are exactly the same, so it applies right to all three of them, so may as well make the changes now rather than have to go through it all later again. So that was the third sentence, the third line in the first paragraph, and then if you go down to the eighth line, we're talking about the frontage along West Street. Street just needs a capital S. So there are big, major changes that need to be made. That's for resolution 05, 06, and 07. And those are the only ones other than the ones that John had that I have.
Sue, what was the first change you were bringing, and I didn't get that?
It was in the third line down from the top, not from the top, but the paragraph. It says it's located in the township of Clinton, which it says is an address.
Okay. Got it.
So that needs just to get rid of the is and leave the has. That again, that one would apply to all of them.
Yep.
Okay, I'm muting.
And Denise, you caught the second one, which was add where West Street needs to be capitalized?
No, I did not. Where is that?
So further down in that same paragraph, if you see redevelopment plan in bold, sentence.
Oh, no, street that. Needs to be capitalized. Yes,
exactly.
That I did get, Bill. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the word west.
No, I'm sorry.
Got it. Okay.
Maybe with those changes, I move that we approve resolution 2005 or whatever.
Lazarus, second.
Thank you, Mr. Glazer and Mr. Lazarus. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lazarus is not eligible to vote on these resolutions.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Let's look.
Yes. Yeah, so I didn't put it on the agenda, but it is here on the last page of the resolution.
Yeah, I see that. Sorry.
That's okay.
So we need Kevin or John to second.
I'll second it then.
Okay. And then I'll do a roll call. Mr. Glace?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Thank you. And Mr. Sommet?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. All right. Next up, same application, same block lot. But this is the same applicant. This is the application 2020-05, resolution 2020-06. This is the request for the extension of time. Revised plans on the modification of condition D1E of the resolution regarding review of architectural plans.
I move that we approve the aforementioned changes.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions or comments? If not, I'll second that.
Wait, which is this the extension of time one or the variance? The C variance is one for the impervious coverage. And
this is the extension of time.
Okay. It's just the Johnny Bartland and the Brosnan.
Right.
Yep. So with that, with those changes and the paragraph one changes Sue pointed out as well. Have a motion and a second.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
I was.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans? Sue, I think you might be muted. Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Thank you. And Mr. Sommet?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. And finally, the third of the trifecta here is same applicant, same block lot. It's application 2020-06, resolution 2020-07, seeking final site plan approval to allow retrofitting of existing historical building to accommodate a mixed-use multifamily residential with restaurant use and construction of a new multifamily residential building along with separate community parking lot. So presumably we have the same issues on the names and on paragraph one as we talked about in the others. Any other questions or comments on this resolution?
This is the variances one, right?
Yes.
Page 8, the conclusions 2B paragraph, granted the C variance, there's a wayward period in the middle of the paragraph.
Yeah, I see it.
Can you clarify, where is that?
Page 8.
Yep.
2B.
About five rows from the bottom there, before the word finally, there's a...
Before the finally.
I don't see a 2B on page 8.
I don't either.
It's B on page 8.
Pink.
Are we on the right resolution?
I might get my resolutions crossed here. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm... We should be on resolution 2020-07, but I don't see a 2B on page 8.
Oh, I think that's the other resolution. We're getting ourselves.
Yeah.
I wrote it down as 2B of 05. I'm sorry. Maybe it was an 05. I apologize. I made notes, but.
It's on 05.
It's on 05, okay. Is where I see.
We're on 07, but 05. Yeah.
How about we move forward with this one then, and then should we go back to 05 and make that?
Yes.
Sure. It's just de minimis. I mean, we can just delete it. Is it only a period?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just delete it.
Okay. Perfect.
So on this one,
I make a motion for approval.
I'll second it.
And if everyone's okay, how about a roll call?
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Thank you. And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate all the work on that one. It's been as we talked about last meeting, it's been a long time coming, and we're all anxious to see some good progress on that. All right. Next up, we have a master plan consistency review. And this is for ordinance 1142-2020, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton amending Chapter 165 of the Code of Township of Clinton by consolidating the C2, ROM, and ROC zoning districts along the Route 22 corridor into a new commercial research office and manufacturing zoning district, and amending the Clinton Township zoning map, schedule of zoning requirements, and Chapter 8-90E's compilation accordingly. So this has been a topic we've addressed several times with this board, as you remember. Really looking at that ROM and C2 and trying to come up with, John always calls it the C-ROM or something, a revised zone that adds some nice things to it and removes a few things from it. And this is now the time that the governing body has sent it to us to ask. We say that it is, I believe, the old not inconsistent with the master plan, and the old double negative is a positive, or consistent.
Conclusion that there's no inconsistency with the master plan, or that the master plan that the ordinance is not inconsistent, as you were saying, but in either relevant consistent or.
Yeah, so we've clearly discussed it. We've clearly looked at it in the context of the master plan, the zoning, I don't see that we see any concerns that it's inconsistent with the master plan.
Yeah, we discussed this all year, and that's clearly a priority of the mayor and the governing body. So I think.
Right. Yeah. I think it's fair to say that, and John can correct me, all of these changes come from our master plan review from back in April.
Right.
I would highlight there's two little things if we wanted to be really picky, but we'll. There, in the master plan review, there actually our language was a bit two-faced. We talked about eliminating warehouses industry centers throughout the township. This ordinance strictly only does it in the new CROM area. As John has pointed out, it's not a permitted use anywhere else, so it's de facto eliminated. So it's just a language thing, and we can clean that up as we maybe do another cleanup elsewhere along 31, which we can come to later. And then in our master plan review, we talked about not allowing electric vehicle charging stations in townhouses. As we went through the ordinance, it made sense to say, well, we really should allow those because we're prohibiting from being charging stations that people are making money from. But if a community like somewhere in Beaverbrook wants to put a charging station in, why would we object?
I mean, Tom, I know you're going to anything you can add that, yeah, I know we've discussed this one several times as a group here.
Sure. I think the board's pretty clear about what the ordinance is about and, how we got here. And just to be clear about that report that was adopted in March of this year, it was both a reexamination report and it was also a land use plan amendment. So I think that's significant in not only that it was recommended, but that it was also the policy that this is where we're headed. It was planned, and so the township took the logical step, went from planning to implementing the ordinance, and in a very timely manner, given the current situation and the way things are. So, in summary, you've all, I'm sure, read the ordinance. It really consolidates the existing C2, ROM 3, and ROC zones. It creates this sort of comprehensive zone that allows all of uses into one to allow for lot consolidation, more comprehensive zoning. And I think Bill said it well when he talked about the warehouse issue, that defining it was important here, in that we do specifically prohibit it along Route 22, but by defining it, it's now clear that it is also not permitted elsewhere because it's not listed as a permitted use, whereas without the definition, it may have wiggled in here or there, depending on the zone and the terminology. So it's, works both ways, I would suggest. So as was mentioned, the ordinance was introduced, I believe it was October 14th. The board is now charged with determining that it's not inconsistent with the master plan and can then, once that's determined, forward any recommendations onto council for consideration and ultimately adoption of the ordinance.
Thanks, Tom.
Can I say, can we call it Crom instead of CROM? Crom is the god in the Conan the Barbarian films, and that Conan Wilkins, and I'm sorry. Just wrong.
Yeah. You were talking, but no one heard you. I'll say for the record also, to echo what Tom said, this is half of the recommendations in the master plan reexamination and land use re-exam. So it's getting quite a lot done in a short period of time, within 6 months of adoption of that. So I think it's, I believe it's not inconsistent, let me just say.
Yeah, I would mention, so I think that this group and the professionals and the council have been kind of moving ahead pretty well on this. So I would also agree this is clearly not inconsistent. I like the double negatives. I think there's something emphatic about double negatives, so I would agree it's not inconsistent with the master plan. Is there a motion or anyone have anything else to say?
Kevin, what is the process here? Our motion is that Denise writes a letter to council saying it's not inconsistent, right?
Correct. And I like, for the sake of good order, that we sort of vote on that to say, you know, we've all directed Denise to send that letter saying it's not inconsistent. So
I make the motion that we direct Denise to write a letter saying that Ordinance 1142-2020 is not inconsistent with the master plan, et cetera, et cetera.
Lazarus, second.
Thank you, Mr. Glazer and Mr. Lazarus. Denise, roll call.
Yes, just one question. And shall I also say that the board does not have any recommendations?
Yes, we don't have any.
Okay.
Unless, I don't want to speak for the board. Does anybody have anything that they feel we should add to that?
Not respect to this ordinance, no.
Okay, because normally in the letter we note that. We note it as, you know, whatever the finding is regarding the consistency and then whether or not the board had recommendations. And if they don't, we really clearly state that.
Yes, that's
okay, so the roll call. Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. And again, thanks everybody for their hard work on this. I know it's been a bunch of work and it's a good result. Next up, we have a little work session here to discuss upcoming ordinance subcommittee items. How about I give the floor or the mic to Bill and the ordinance subcommittee and walk us through your thoughts on this?
I will. Thanks, Kevin. So John and I have had a couple of meetings. We met with Denise. I've done some homework, sent a few things out. Looking back a few years, we have about 30 items we've been tracking kind of back and forth as the ordinance subcommittee. About eight of those have been, well, six of them were just handled the ordinance we just talked about. Two more sort of are in progress with council based on conversations Brian is having. One of them is about a short-term rental ordinance, and another one is about possibly creating a technical review committee. So there's a few more already moving along. We haven't seen the details of that yet, but I'm sure we will. There's a whole bunch of items that I'm like recognizes executive progress parking for right now because we need to do a little more work to say how we carry them forward. A few of them were in the re-exam report. They're just a few of them are not very urgent right now, so we don't want to focus on them. There's like things where we require court judgment and some stuff like that that we just don't want to go to. And there's one that a township resident raised relative to the OB2 zone along Gray Rock Road, and we're parking that right now. Basically because other actions may ensue within that zone. There's some conversations about doing some other things. So we're not going to take time and energy from our experts and the government to the governing body to look at a rezoning to add apartments in that above the second floor there, particularly since there's another OB2 zone down on Beaver Avenue that would impact. So I think we'll park that one as well. There's about eight items that I'd say are pretty active that I just want to cover to get the sense of people on the board if I could. I'm going in chronological order, not I'm going to say the prioritization of these. There's a carry forward item from the 2018 Board of Adjustment annual report, and it was talking about limiting either the number of accessory buildings or the total square feet of accessory buildings in selected zones. I'll reuse their language verbatim from currently certain individual accessory buildings are permitted, but a collection of too many such permitted buildings on a single property may constitute an undesirable situation. And I happened to be on the Board of Adjustment when there was an application where this applied, but we didn't do anything about it. We couldn't. It was an older property, had a lot of existing outbuildings already, and the applicant wanted to build another building. It ends up the application failed for other reasons, but it came forward as sort of an interesting item. What's the sense of people? The Board of Adjustment said it's something we should discuss and consider that you know, you could end up with an older property that has five outbuildings. It could end up with a sixth or a seventh or an eighth because there's no limit. So we could research what other towns nearby do. I actually think, depending on the size of the property, it's more of a problem than other properties. If it's a big property, I'm obviously not so concerned. But you know, some of the smaller properties have been subdivided over the years. You end up with, you know, the little outbuilding, the second outbuilding, the old barn that's semi-dilapidated, and it does become unsightly. Or do we not care? Do we just say it's Clinton Township and we let people do what they want to do?
I'm trying to remember, Bill, is there a limit on, you know, the residential areas on sheds?
There is. You know, I didn't look at that one piece.
Mayor, there is. I believe it's 150 square feet. And that's not uncommon, I would say, for a typical shed. Sometimes you'll see additional relief for things like a garage for cars,
right.
Or a barn or something like that, or maybe even a pool house, depending on the municipality. So for certain uses, that does that can increase, but 150 is a decent threshold for something like a shed or a smaller accessory type feature.
Kevin is something
of an expert. Our threshold for shed just is 200 square feet. In the
200, excuse me.
Okay. And that's okay. It's one per residential property on sheds, but there's no limit on accessory buildings.
Yeah, okay. So you could have a shed and third garage. We have a separate garage, for instance, and a pool. You could have a pool house besides that. So
and a barn. And
yeah. That's something to...
Kevin, we revamped the shed ordinance like 10 years ago. Is that all about setbacks? I can't recall. Or...
Yeah, I think it was setbacks and size.
Yes, it was. Not limits on, well, one shed is a limit, but not limit on other outbuildings, I think, is the
point. Right, it was one shed.
Right.
And the limit is the building code limit. Over 200 feet and above, you've got to put a foundation in. That, then it becomes an accessory building. Maybe we would agree to think about it. I don't have a wonderful answer in my head.
I would just say, that's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for a wonderful answer. I'm saying, do we want to pursue this or do we want to dismiss the...
Well, if you'd like to just take a sample, drive down Cokesbury Road until it hits the river. There's a house on the river to the left. It has a tree house, but at least a couple of sheds. And I'm not sure what else, but... it's covered with cars that are sort of parked there and then all these other structures. So it looks pretty unsightly. We'd have to, in my view, maybe go out and look at a couple of towns that are similar to us and benchmark, see if anybody else has gotten some language that makes some sense.
I mean, maybe ask Tom, is this something that's off the reservation? Do you not see limits on the numbers in other towns or?
We absolutely do, and I think having been involved in a number of zoning board applications in Clinton Township, that it seems to be a sensible thing to do at this point in time.
Okay, so we'll take our advisement and research it and come back with maybe a recommendation.
Very good.
Okay. The second one we had was John Drill a while ago put on our agenda to talk about 5G antennas, and I'd just like to park that for right now because we want to have some more conversation with John, but the feeling I have, and John Higgins and I talked about this, was that 5G isn't going anywhere so quickly, and particularly the technology that requires small antennas all over the place on buildings is particularly not going anyplace quickly in a rural county like Hunterdon. So we don't think there's a pressing need to address this because our antennas are already covered in the current ordinance. But if anyone else has another feeling, like Tom or Katie, are we missing something here? Should we be prioritizing this?
I don't know if it needs to be a priority at this point in terms of, you know, what would the impacts be if you didn't address it at the moment. It's, you know, the technology seems to be evolving almost on an annual basis, if not, you know, more rapidly. So, you know, what's your exposure right now if you don't do it? I don't know if it's... You know, there's probably some, but
if it helps, I had a chat with Mayor Kovach in Clinton Town where I would have expected if there was some interest in our area, you know, right downtown might be a spot. And at this point, Nothing's happening there. And she's in a kind of a wait and see what transpires in terms of the legislation and whatnot that defines the rights of the antenna people versus the rights of the township to restrict them. I believe, if I remember correctly, this is a couple of weeks ago, she mentioned that it was the league was going to take a look at this. She's going to be the first, I don't know, the president of the league next year. So I think she is motivated to have the league take a look at taking a position and perhaps providing some guidance in the coming year.
I can also talk to Tom and see if he has heard anything further. And see if it needs to be pressing. As far as I would say, I would probably agree with Tom that I don't think it's a dire need, but maybe keep it on the radar, because you don't want somebody to come in and do something that, you know, or have an application and have it approach you first. But I'll talk to John and see if he's heard anything further on it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, it's still on our active list. It's on the active list. We're just not.
Sure.
Exactly.
There's only so much active that you can be. All right.
Prioritizing our time here.
For sure.
And really, prioritizing your guys' time.
It was either, late last year, very early this year, Verizon came by and we did one of these fencing matches where they said, well, you know, we don't have to pay much attention to you guys. We're just going to put things up. And we said, oh, no, you're not. So the lawyers exchanged pleasantries for a while, and then Verizon decided they might go somewhere else. So it's kind of, you know, percolating a little bit, but it doesn't sound like we're a highway community, and it doesn't sound like we're of much interest.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger concern I always have is if we see Comcast really moving into space and try to throw antennas up on all the poles or something, but there doesn't seem an indication of that from what I'm reading. So we'll keep on the active list, and maybe I'll talk with Tom and Katie and John, and we'll keep it moving, but on a slower burn, if that's okay with everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah. The third item would be from the Board of Adjustment 2019 annual report. We addressed one item, the EV stations, for that. This was a point we touched on at the review we did with North Hunterdon, where roof-mounted solar panels are subject to height requirements in the ordinance, but what they mentioned, and there's some detailed language I can go into, they're kind of asking, what do we do in the case of a flat roof? Is sort of the question that they say the ordinance is actually a little bit unclear in that regard. And I think when we talked about the North Hunterdon case, we said, well, you know, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't show and we're willing to go with it. But the recommendation from the Board of Adjustment is maybe we just tighten up the language of the ordinance a little bit to be more clear what we want. You know, in some cases, you've got other taller items on the flat roof, be it like, you know, air conditioning units or whatever, and it's probably not an issue. But if it's truly flat roof, do we want the roof to be extended by a solar panel or not?
I thought it allowed the height of the tilted structure to be 3 feet over the.
Yeah, but they're saying if it's not a tilted structure, for a flat roof.
No, on a flat roof, I thought that it allowed the panels. I could be wrong. I could be confusing.
Yeah.
But
it says a roof-mounted solar energy system should not be more than 6 feet higher than the height of the finished roof. In no instance shall any part of the system extend beyond the peak of the roof, extend beyond the maximum height of the roof line, or exceed the maximum height of the permitted for the principal accessory building in that zone. So I think the point is, it's, you know, we're saying the max is the peak, but there's no peak on a flat roof. I think it's really just a wording, tighten up wording. I don't think it's complicated.
The peak is the height of the roof, but...
Well, that's it. So then you couldn't have anything, John, which is not what we need, of course.
There is no peak, so it's the height of the roof. You could add a clause in there if we.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I'm hoping that Tom could tell us. There's some state-of-the-art zoning language we would just have to slip in to, you know, like a quick and easy change if we ever wanted to do it. But I don't know if that's the case.
Well, we did have that little distinguished attorney call that a Mike Sullivan gotcha. We did have that issue with the. Wellness centers array where we only allow, I think it's 240 square feet of connected, you know, maximum single unit. And since if you separate those units by a quarter inch, which would cost a lot more money, you can put in as much as you want. So that was just a stupid variance. So we should probably really rethink that language. And since, you know, the mounting systems presume a continuous solar array.
Right, right.
And it just makes more sense anyway.
And I think both of those changes, John, would be really consistent with what we talked about as one of the purposes of the master plan reexamination. We talked about the public policy of fostering solar energy and all of that. So how about if I'll take this item, we'll add the item on wellness center because I need to go back and remember what that issue was, and we'll split this into some other ordinance we do when we do something with zoning. This would not be a separate change.
Take a look. It's the maximum single unit size, which is okay. – I want to say 240 square feet.
Yeah.
And since they could have spent a lot more money and just bought separate mounting gizmos for each panel and separated it by a quarter of an inch.
Right.
And been totally compliant, but it would have been a total waste of money. So
right.
we should rethink that in light of the way these things are constructed these days.
Right. Right.
So.
Okay. The next two items were from Denise and Tom, so the zoning officers. One, which I actually personally think is a little more pressing, it has to do with review of soil disturbance and grading ordinance. The suggestion is to add a requirement for soil testing when deemed appropriate by the township engineer. So not always, but when deemed appropriate. The township had an issue with a large amount of soil brought into a residential property, and now that the county, the DEP, requires soil testing beyond visual inspection. Now, I do have a question whether that might have changed because there's that awful dumping case in Sussex County recently. And I don't know if the DEP ever changed their rules around soil, but I find this kind of a non-offensive requirement if it's the township engineer because it gives us, I think, a little bit of protection, but maybe that's beyond the pale for residential.
No, it really isn't. This was David Post Road, and there were truckloads coming in from, you know, eastern New Jersey, shall we say, and places like that. And there isn't much fresh dirt out that way. So, and there were truckload after truckload after truckload, and there was some question, at least in our minds, about whether the individuals dumping the dirt were paid for doing this and what quality the dirt was. And Kathy was kind of frustrated that there was no enabling ordinance to allow her to do the sampling. So we should address it. And maybe the committee can do some research, as you suggest, Bill, with if we do need to do anything or whether DEP has put something in place. That could just be a quick phone call to Kathy.
Yeah.
And then we can go from there.
So I think the implication from Kathy, John, then, is that other townships do have this requirement. We wouldn't be off the reservation in requiring it for
No.
Okay.
In fact, as part as a condition of approval, we've done that before for the Panama Memorial. There was some fill there that we wondered about, and we did do a grid and sample grid for some of the fill that was required. So, but that's part of a condition of approval.
Right.
Not an ordinance for just fresh dirt coming in from Lord knows where.
Yeah. I mean, Katie, Tom, any feelings on this? Is this reasonable or unreasonable? Or
I think it's reasonable. I do think having some engineering input would be sensible, as that's typically their domain. But I think it is something that many municipalities address in different ways.
Good.
I agree.
And some are dealt with sort of in a custom, regional way that, a one size fits all may not apply.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
I think it makes sense though.
Good. Okay. The second one for the zoning officers, it's funny. We come back to solar panels. So we'll lop it into that when we do a solar panel review. It talks about section 165.110, ground mounted solar. The maximum permitted is 400 square feet, regardless of lot size. How does that apply to a larger lot? 400 square feet for ground-mounted solar may not provide enough power for some larger homes. So it kind of might defeat the purpose of allowing them. But I think we need to consider parameters around, we don't want a half-acre lot with, hundreds of square feet of solar panel versus a five-acre lot, I think.
Well, the basic concept is it should not generate power in excess of what's consumed by a home, the principal structure.
Right, 100%.
Yeah.
But if you have a relatively large home, and let's say you've got a pool and some other stuff, maybe 400 square feet's not enough. And if you've got a large enough property, I mean, do we want someone to have to come in and request a variance, or would they? I think we're saying, could they do it by rights under the ordinance? And we could be tight and just say, no, come for a variance at all times.
Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
I mean, you could, you know, almost figure out what an average size might be for a dwelling in Clinton Township or in a certain zone. It could be on a, you know, a sliding scale, even if some areas of town have larger homes, bigger lots, that kind of thing. You could also do things like cap the height and, you know, require screening as observed from neighbors or the street. So those seem
Key. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, Tom, your point is well taken. The village residential zone is really, really different than one of the rural residential. I mean, we wouldn't, you know, the village manager, if someone in their backyards wants, 400 square feet of solar panels, probably a problem, versus out, let's say, on someplace on Allerton Road where there's a lot more room.
Correct.
And, PAR, the panel area ratio.
Well, you know what, John, because solar panels don't count towards impervious surface, right, because they let rain through. So we don't care about them in that sense. Yeah.
I would say there is a home at the top of the hill in Haytown, right at the corner of Haytown and MacArthur, that has a very large array. I wouldn't presume here to say how large, but it's clearly more than 400 square feet. It's not screened. And it really does kind of look like hell. It stands out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, maybe do a little benchmarking. We did that. What do you think, Kevin? That was probably 10 years ago, at least. So maybe take a look at the current state of the art in some of our surrounding communities.
Yeah, we did. I think it's probably worth doing a little looking at that.
In Reddington?
I mean, was the intention of the ordinance perhaps to encourage people to put the solar panels primarily on their roofs and only allow the 400 feet for overflow?
No. I would say it was more of an aesthetic issue.
You know, okay.
Because even on a 2.5-acre lot, you know, anything much more than that is hard to conceal.
Right.
And kind of disturbs the, what would you call it, the rustic look of the township.
Does it disturb it more than putting on the roof? I guess it does, actually, because those fields can be kind of unsightly.
Well, roof, you know, half the roofs are kind of black. The panels are black, so.
Right. And the new technology, they're making more and more look like shingles, whether they're effective yet, but.
Correct. So, I hate to add more work, but we might pick just a refresh. That was the first effort.
Right.
We were not wanting to have solar farms.
Right. I mean, this is just in the residential zones to start with. We're not talking anything commercial zones. So.
Right.
Yeah, what we'll take an advisement, do a little bit of work, and we'll combine it with the other solar energy stuff we were looking at. And if something comes of it, great, we'll talk more. If it doesn't, we'll talk more. I think we just need to do a little more work.
What would you guys think? I mean, would the next step, rather than the ordinance committee hatching a fully developed ordinance, would it make sense to have an intermediary step where we come back and say, here's what some other towns are doing?
That's what I would propose. Yeah.
Right. All right.
Oh, yeah. I just think we don't have a basis to say yes, no, or anything right now. It's just it's out there as a proposal, and I think what we're saying is, we accept the proposal. We'll do a little bit more work.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. There's two that are kind of pending for the reexamination report. One, and then there's another one that kind of ties off of that. The one was to talk about consolidating the non-residential zones along Route 31 between Regional Road and Hibbler. So right now it's this would be almost like the evil twin of Route 22, where we had all those different zones. Now in that section from Hibbler up to Regional, we've got OB1, C1, ROM1, all sort of, and a couple of affordable housing zones, of course, for Ruki and LeCompte, that just kind of emerged over time. And I don't think we're saying there's necessarily a change to be made, but given what we've just gone through Route 22, we think it deserves another look, all of that. And then, you know, maybe we'll tone in some of the language on the warehouse language and stuff like that.
And I sort of cheated. Tom called earlier today, and we got talking a little bit. And to some degree, Bill, we have zones that, especially on Route 31, that's why it's harder. You've got two distinct sections, one with utilities in the ground, one without
right.
utilities, and no chance of having utilities. So the other thing that you sort of brought up indirectly, we've got what if we wanted a certain look on that highway for future development,
right?
Would we, you know, we've got these little bitty lots left over from a two-lane country highway where
right.
Tom Clancy was directing traffic with no traffic light in front of North Hunterdon High School way back
right.
then.
Right.
And they're houses and lot sizes that belong in the village, not on a four-lane highway.
Right.
So in that case, does a township say, well, that's all well and good. They're going to be pre-existing non-conforming, and we zone relatively uniformly for the whole stretch of the highway with the idea that some future time when we're all, you know, pushing up daisies, that will provide a more uniform look for that area of the township. So that's almost a philosophical starting point.
Right.
Not that I sound like I'm a planner or something. But maybe think about that a little bit in terms of how do we approach it?
Right. I mean, I guess I'll ask the question. I'm philosophically there with you, John, but I don't know, are other people philosophically there as well? Or do we sort of like this, what could potentially become the mishmash and say, oh, it's sort of, you know, quirky Clinton Township, that's good. I mean, I don't like how Route 31 is necessarily developed in other neighboring townships.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of my mantra is looking, saying, is there a way we could help steer our zoning and planning to make something a little bit better? Yeah, we've got the large ROM zones and from Allerton to Regional. So that's probably, and the affordable housing, that's a little, I think, less yeah. concerned. It's really from Allerton down to Hibbler, where, as you say, there's, you know, we've got the village residential area right south of Allerton, and then we've got these different zones, like, kind of popping in and out, sort of depending historically what things have done.
It looks like when the zoning was done, the houses were there, so they just said, fine.
Yeah.
We'll just figure out a zone that kind of fits them, and nothing of that nature has developed over the last, since I've been out here, 1988 or some such time frame. So why not, you know, if we don't injure the current homeowners,
mm-hmm.
why not zone for what we think we want in the future as opposed to what was built 40 years ago? And then, you know, they become pre-existing non-conforming. I wouldn't
right.
think that would hurt them from a sale value or whatnot.
Right.
But
right. The reexamination, John, interestingly, we were specific. I don't know why we were so specific. I forget our conversation. We talked about the non-residential zones. There are the two small residential zones right along 31. There's
yeah.
the one, which is the Methodist Church, which is actually in the RR zone. Funny enough, it just, you know, tucked in, and then the village residential across the street. So I do kind of take your point. It's all kind of one contiguous flow. And what I'm worried about is we become this town with like 7,000 curb cuts in the space of 4 miles because we just, you know, kind of allow what we allow.
It's now realistically that area is the 65-mile-an-hour highway. And all those curb cuts when it was 45 miles an hour, bumpy, you know, two-lane highway.
Right.
Be fine. But that's not what we're looking at these days.
Right.
So, and besides, for further development, we need a 10-acre minimum in that stretch because you need septic. So,
yeah.
So anyway, maybe that's something, if it makes sense to Kevin and John, you know, we just kick it around with Tom a bit and come up with a proposal that we think makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I think that makes sense.
Kevin or
John, any feelings?
Pardon?
Lazarus, I was asking.
No, I think you make good points, and I don't think any of that was set in stone, you know, decades ago. I think it was all just sort of, you know, developed, you know, sort of organically. And I don't think, I don't know that there was any grand vision 30, 40, 50 years ago when a lot of these zones were developed. So if we were cleaning up Route 22, it makes sense to clean up Route 31 as well, right?
Well, I think we're saying we'll explore cleaning it up. We, you know, whether, yeah.
Yeah, in a funny way, there's a couple of little oddballs all the way at the north end of Route 30.
Oh, you stole my thunder. That's my next item I want to talk about, John, because it's
the plumbing and, you know,
We've got up there, we've got the OB2, the ROM3, and the C1, and then maybe it makes sense to just kind of relook at that northern part as well, and sort of the same idea, if you will. The zones are a little bit bigger there, funny enough, the way they jut off the highway and go, like, down on that one part of 513 and...
Yeah, there's utilities up to water's edge, and I find
right.
it hard to believe they'll be extended past that.
Mm.
And so, you know, water's edge is water's edge. Yeah, it's fully built out, so perhaps some
right.
of the other parts of the highway we look at kind of carefully. I mean, it could make sense to do a Route 22 sort of a zone up there.
Well, I wonder, especially since, you know, we have had people sniffing around the old Sherrod's property, anything else. Is there anything we could do with zoning to help that along to something we want versus something we might not?
Yeah, they're pretty both Sherrod's and the adjacent property with the two flags out on the 22, they're very, maybe desperate's the wrong word, but they very, very much want to sell.
Mm.
And you could see that being a good place for an apartment complex, kind of like what Clinton has
right.
over by the library, for instance.
Right.
So,
right. But it would be a terrible place for a warehouse or distribution center, so I would want to capture that very strong language
sure.
up there.
Oh, yeah. Now, the access to you know, 78.
Look, I'll be open with the board. I'm also motivated to say if we do the right thing around Route 31, maybe it encourages neighboring communities to do the same thing.
Well, I do believe that warehouse is probably going to go in Clinton.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Christmas tree factory.
Those the town of Clinton is thinking of doing a parcel along 31 as a warehouse. Well, not the town, a developer in the town of Clinton.
Yeah. That's where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Kevin. It's a nightmare.
You mean that field by CTMS, or is that the next hotel?
It's that block between Mobis and Gray Rock, half of
yeah,
which is ours, right. half of which is theirs.
By CTMS, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a kind of a funny story. I was told it was a Christmas tree factory owned by a small family, you know, kind of business. But then I also heard by another route, yeah, since, you know, of course, I'm thinking nobody builds Christmas trees in the United States. So, of course, it's an importer. And I think it's a 60,000-foot initial scale and then going out to 100,000 feet. And it's going to be a general-purpose warehouse distribution center. And it, in its most benign state, it'll be like Cokesbury Road where you don't see a lot of traffic, but...
Yeah.
Told the town we'd probably have to figure out a way to block off Mobis Place. So
yeah.
Hopefully it won't happen, but, you know, we don't know.
Just trucks along that part of 31. It's the same reason we don't want them on 22.
Yeah.
It's just the infrastructure doesn't support it. And then there's one final little, like I'll call it, thing floating around. It's the that one lot at the very northern edge of the township, lot 68, block 68, lot 3 on Echo Lane. It's the we talked about this with John Drill in the master plan reexamination. You guys might remember. It's the lot that is now OB1. The township tried to convert it back to RC, the RC zone, but there was a lawsuit, a consent decree, so it's still OB1. Funny enough, the lot is for sale and listed as, and I don't know how this happens, it's more of a question to John and Katie, they're listing it saying it's uniquely dual zoned as OB1 and RC zoned. Can't something be in two zones at once?
Not unless there's an overlay or if it's split zoned, but I wouldn't, but I don't think,
it's a bunch of guys trying to pull a fast one and
right.
it's just... It's an outrageous price. It's just crazy.
Oh, it's crazy. That was like $500,000 or more, I think. It was
right.
All the lots are, it's insanity.
Just for the record, I'm planning board attorney and the land use board attorney in the town of Clinton. So, but I haven't heard any on the Christmas. I hear about the Christmas tree warehouse, but then nothing came up in months and months. So it's been dead for as far as I know, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything in maybe a year actually or so. So the only last thing I did hear was Christmas actually. So.
Yeah, no, there's a certain engineering organization that's pretty leaky, and do a lot of local work. So.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling on this one lot that's so overpriced is, because it's got the whole consent decree and stuff, I was just going to park it in the hold zone, except it's on that part of Route 31, so I thought I should mention it if we're looking at Route 31.
I guess the question I've always had on that is, why don't we follow up? We've let the time elapse, right? We had to wait as part of that consent decree.
I think we'll have to ask John Drill for the details of the consent decree, John. Kevin, that's the next step.
I think for these things to just age out, and then by doing nothing, we give something up.
Right. Right.
It's Kevin, remind me of the guy's name, Bill Honachevsky.
Honachevsky, right. Yeah. It's actually, they own three of the properties there, the father and the son or something. Bill owns the one inside. This is Nicholas actually owns this property on paper.
Yeah, but there was a neighbor dispute. There was all kinds of mess up there. And you know, we always seem to get sucked into it, and then, you know, everybody gets what they want out of it but the township.
So how about if I do this? I'll follow up with John Drill and ask about the consent decree. We'll get a little history.
Right.
And then we can have a further conversation. I don't know that, you know, the township's wanted to change it since 2005, as far as I can tell.
Correct.
Right. And then once the lot was purchased, the new owner wanted at the time to revert it to residential.
Right.
And which we believed was the proper story anyway, since that is in the part of the 3% of the township that's in the Highlands.
Exactly.
Preservation.
Right. And the two lots, the three lots behind it in Echo Lane are all residential already.
Right.
I mean.
Correct.
It's a lovely, friendly neighborhood. So, we would have to spend the legal fees to go ahead down to the court. So it's a matter of. You know, I'll tell you what, by the time we get around to this, we're going to have a new mayor sitting on the planning board who might have an opinion about, do we have any money to do this?
Right.
But
at least we can have a plan to do it when we have the money, if nothing else.
Yeah, it was the judge's opinion, didn't have a time limit as to when we could reapproach the court.
Right.
But since we've let a lot of time pass.
And we're in the Highlands now, which was Highlands an issue in 2005? It was just starting?
2008.
Well, that was in the preservation area, so that was not voluntary.
Right. But Highlands passed in 2008, so it was after the consent decree.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to matter.
84, 82 or something. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was not, you know.
Yeah.
The question was, where is the bound? Well, anyway, it's too long.
But John, realistically, what could
spend the money? We could reapproach the court.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know if we want. I mean, but realistically, what could someone do in an OB1 zone on 5 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area?
Not much. That's why it's around.
Yeah.
So, but we could, you know, when we look at that area, when we look at that section of Route 31. That'll be something we would cite and then come back at a work session with some ideas.
Right, right. At the very least, we could express our desire to get it back to RC and then maybe hold off doing anything.
Right.
Okay.
If you give me a poke, I'll send you my files on all that stuff.
I will.
They're complete.
Oof, gosh, okay. So basically all the items that are out of my list, we've got some homework to do on all of them, and we will. I'm not going to give you a firm time frame on attacking all these, but we'll slowly move through them and keep the progress going, I'd say.
Okay.
Unless there's any people find super urgent. Maybe the dirt one is a little more urgent. I don't know.
Well, you know, and that may be an easy one.
Well, that's, I'm thinking there's a few easy ones, and I think 31 is the more urgent one, but that's kind of a bigger, you know, it just takes time. It's a, you know, and then the solar panel ones kind of come together.
Yeah, there's a few things. The solar panel one, it may be just as we sort of did with 322, there was a whole bunch of things. It was almost like a, omnibus kind of
right.
thing. So if we have a lot of cats and dogs that are pretty easy to define, you know, maybe tackle three or four that solar and make the tweaks.
Right. Okay.
Bring them all up and Trish can then send us the whole basket, you know,
right.
all at once.
Yeah. Well, we've got to do a little more work before we get to that point, but that, I just want to make sure everyone's on board with the direction we're going then. Okay. That's all I got.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Good discussion. Whoa, I'm looking at our agenda here. There's no public hearings. There's no communications. We do have vouchers. There's a couple of vouchers. I think Denise sent the link.
Yep. It looks fine to me.
All right.
Vote to approve vouchers.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus and Mr. Glazer. Roll call, please.
You're on mute.
Sorry about that. Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Great, thank you. All right, and then the final item for the evening, reports. In reports, we did the subcommittee right there. How about anything from council?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of things really quick. You know, like I'll take care of environmental and open space together probably. The shelter is up at Windy Acres. I think it's 36 feet by 24 feet or something like that. And we've got a... we're very close to actually getting the money from preserving those other two pieces of Windy Acres. Brian and I spent a good amount of time on the phone with Renee Jones from Green Acres, and she sent all the paperwork up. Trishka and company have the correct of deeds that are ready to file, and we just have to have a resolution on town council next meeting on the 28th. And the amount that we're looking for, which would be most helpful for a variety of reasons this year, but also for next year's budget, it's about $388,000 and change.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been talked about as $500,000, but by the time you do all the math and take the deductions and everything else, it's $388,000 and change. So that's imminent, and we might be able to get it before the end of the year.
That's great.
Do have some news. I won't bother with that. There's another open space thing, but that's take too long to talk about. We did have a I'm losing my place here. Pardon me. It's not really an update from council, but it's something that came up. And if you remember, some time ago, gosh, at least a year, probably two, the state passed a significant bond issue to promote vote technical education. And it allowed for the construction of one new Polytech vote tech school in each county that did not have a four-year program. So we happen to be one of them. And the state would fund it 75% if the county popped for 25%. And it started out as a large project, but, you know, when Polytech finally sat with freeholders and kicked it around, I think the freeholders have effectively committed to a $5 million contribution, and the state would pony up 15, the proposal has and is to locate it at the northern edge of North Hutterdon High School. And it would provide some facilities that would allow schooling in certain trades that we don't have the capability to do these days. And then, of course, the kids, it would be sized for about 200 students, and they could take their academic classes over at the high school. The high school is down about 190 students from its peak, so it fits very nicely. And the problem is sewage, of course. So I'm hoping that we can work it out. I'm trying to help it along, and I'm hoping we can work it out with CTSA and hope we can get the required discharge under their current allocation. So I've sent a note off to CTSA to get current, flow history and then what their current allocation is. But if that does happen, it's something that might come to the planning board next year or thereabouts.
And that would be new construction on those old playing fields then, John, I guess, right?
Yeah, right up by the office complex there.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, too bad they could just use the old Ingersoll building at the office complex. It's not part of the campus, I know, but...
Well...
You know.
That could be of interest. I've forgotten the cost. It doesn't have the ceiling heights for some of the trades, auto mechanics and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true, but... but by the time you could retrofit by the time you build new. I mean, what the heck? I don't know.
Is that fairly empty, or are they still using that?
They emptied it out. It was originally built by Steve Pizicki, SJP Properties, for whatchamacallit, that company. And it was built as a headquarters for their tool division, also like a design lab and testing lab for the engineers. And some time ago, Ingersoll flipped it to a REIT out in Phoenix and became tenants. And they gave notice and actually vacated it a couple of months ago.
Oh, wow.
So it is empty. Mark Salek and the county guys, it was kind of funny. Mike Wright mentioned it one morning early, and later on that morning, Salek was meeting with a bunch of brokers to talk about development. So we found the broker that we needed to speak with, and we're waiting to schedule a walkthrough so we can understand, what it's going to look like. They do pay a lot of taxes, about $400,000 a year. So I do worry about a tax appeal.
Yeah, the concourse is a little bit empty now, too, the building next door since the ARC moved out. They used a fair amount of space there.
That building is so out of
there. That's like a bad 80s movie or a bad 70s movie.
Kevin, you're exactly right.
100%.
I always thought there was opportunity there for commuter parking. That's a big lot they have in the back. I don't know that we can make that work.
Let's put it this way. The program that funds Aaron Papazian's lot on Beaver Avenue still exists, but DOT would like to wish it doesn't. So we've sat down in Trenton, and for a while there was a little bit of a glimmer that we might be able to add new capacity that would enjoy the same funding that Aram has. And he's 124, 129 spaces, and I think he picks up 65,000-70,000 a year, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's for services. It's suspended for 6 or 7 months now. I wonder what happens.
But we couldn't get Transbridge to go anywhere else. They were resistant for a while there to do another stop or another,
I'm sure.
I know, but the Ingersoll property is not all that far away, from, I don't know. I mean, I just, that's right. Just throwing that out there. With respect to Polytech.
I mean, two stops right in a row.
That Ingersoll, right. You've been in there, John, that Ingersoll building, they do have labs in the basement or the first floor. They got some pretty neat stuff down there.
Yeah, it looked like an engineer's, like a playroom almost.
Right.
But I've never been in there, but I'm very, I really want to get a look at it.
That first floor is pretty neat, like an engineer, and then there's like office built. The other floors are just offices.
Right. Is that the third biggest ratable after New York Life and Exxon, or?
It's New York Life. Well, it's Exxon, the warehouse on Cokesbury.
Yeah, right.
followed by to New York Life. I can't remember. They're the sixth. I can't remember who.
They're the sixth. Okay.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, I think it's $16 million, something like that.
Yeah.
Warehouse no. 27.
Yeah. Well, then we wouldn't want a school there. They don't pay taxes, do they?
No, you wouldn't really want to take that out.
No, exactly. Not at all. Forget I ever said that.
With respect to Polytech and the you know, sort of adjoining the North Hunterdon campus, that, I mean, that has always been an issue. North County kids, North and Voorhees kids,
yeah,
have always been somewhat reluctant to
right.
go all the way down to Flemington, and if they could expand access to the programs for North County kids, I think that's really a great thing. That's a long time in the making. You know, that's, you know, but because I can tell you. Hunterdon Central, there's no, it's the kids walk right over from between buildings, and there's no,
yeah,
no issue. And the access for North County kids is much, much more of an issue. And there's other issues too with stereotyping and things like that, or like dumb kids go to Polytech, stuff like that. But I mean, like it's with Hunterdon Central, you really have, you know, ease of access that you just don't have for North and Voorhees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it really would be a nice asset for this part of the county. There's no doubt about that. So I'd really,
North is running a couple of Polytech programs now in the school.
Right. I think
it started like 2 years ago. But it's computer science or something like that. It's not the
computer science. It's nothing,
but between the campuses you have down in Flemington, between the Bartles campus and the main campus, it's nothing compared to what Flemington has, you know.
Yeah.
But they're not conventional vocational. This is
right.
You know, computer stuff up at Voorhees, and then it's actually a woman professor. She's a PhD cancer researcher from the Anderson, you know, Institute down in Texas. She's an amazing woman. Hmm. And her husband got dragged up here to work for Exxon, so the deal was she moved and she got to teach. So she's teaching biomedical stuff. And
wow.
They've actually got one of these electronic cadavers, you know, that the table you stand at. It's very, very cool stuff. So, this particular one would be more nuts and bolts and,
right.
I assume, automotive trades and that sort of thing.
Right.
And
right.
Welding. They don't have the facility for welding at this point, apparently.
That's great.
So hopefully something will happen out of that. It has been pretty quiet except for that, really. Just looking at the, nothing really much. Oh, we do have I almost mentioned it when we were talking about ordinances. The township does not have a road opening ordinance, and Brian and Tricia are working on an ordinance that would prohibit a road opening within 5 years of paving a road.
Mm-hmm.
If you did want to, you know, open the road, you were going to spend a lot of money putting it all back together again. Very nice. So that's a coming attraction. We might get it in this year. We might not.
Hmm.
How ambitious are you for your last 2 months in office, Mr. Mayor?
3 council meetings.
Discounting.
not that anybody's counting, right?
I smile more. Brian doesn't smile quite as much. So I think we'll have an administrator shortly, too. That'll be on the agenda for the meeting on the 28th. We'll name that person.
Great.
All right. Any other reports from anybody? If not, who's at the end of the dais here to do the dutiful?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we end the meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Well, thank you all.
Great. Thank you.
And a good evening to all.
Have a good evening. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Bye now.
Take care.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.